Good morning to all of you. So good to see you here, to have you with us as we come together and leave all of the stress of the world behind and just come and enjoy being with each other and being with the Lord. And so we worship Him. We've got so much to be grateful for, especially because we have our God. And so this is a wonderful occasion for us just simply to be together. I want to read before we begin singing, Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Now let's worship together.
Unto thee, O Lord.
Our song before our prayer this morning will be number 853, Sing the Wondrous Love of Jesus When We All Get to Heaven.
Yeah.
Let us pray. Our Father and our God, as we come before you just now, we're thankful for this opportunity to gather in your name, unimpeded by government, dear God, in a place where we have been given freedoms, have been secured by so many. We're grateful for them, dear God, over the past. We're mindful, dear God, of these this morning that are suffering. We would first like to mention those, dear God, who are suffering because of sin in their lives. We pray, dear God, for them. We pray if there's one within the realms of our voices this morning that has not obeyed you, dear God, that they would surely consider following the plan of salvation, securing for themselves, and after a while, in a place where we will forever be with you. We're mindful, dear God, of these who've lost loved ones who are suffering during this time because of loss. We know, dear God, that we're not barred from tragedy and disease, things that happen on this earth, the challenges that we face in this walk of life. We lift these up and pray for them, these families. We also mention, dear God, this morning, our care providers. We ask for a special blessing today on those who are developing plans, conducting tests, dear God, working feverishly to bring about healing in an efficient and effective manner to return loved ones to their families and to their much-desired walk of life. The dedication of these individuals from first responders, dear God, to those who are specialists in fields of care. We ask, dear God, for your blessings upon them, and they would have a renewed spirit, for the efforts that they have had to put forth have surely been of challenge in these 2020. We pray, dear God, for the one that will stand before us this day to break the bread of life. We pray that he will have a ready recollection of the things that he has prepared, and we ask, dear God, that good seed would fall on good and honest hearts and that they would produce. We ask for the continued blessings of safety, of security, and of health. Help us to be ever mindful of our responsibilities, not only in this place, but in the many walks of life we frequent. This prayer we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Well, for our scripture reading this morning, and Tim brings us our lesson, we'll sing Footsteps of Jesus, 416 in the book.
Sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling, come, follow me. And we see where thy footprints falling, lead us to thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway
Good morning. Today's scripture will be John 4, 19 through 24. John 4, 19 through 24. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but they say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father, in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth."
In the song we just sang, there was mention of Siloam's fountain. And I trust you know the reference there. It was one of the wonderful miracles of Jesus. He came upon the scene, and there was a man that had been lame for a long time. And the thinking of the people was that if we can be there when the water is stirred, then that means the angel has come down from heaven, and the first one to get into the water will be healed. That was Siloam's fountain. And yet it was Jesus, of course, that could heal, not any mythical idea, not any rumor, urban legend. And once the man met Jesus, he could walk again. Well, here we are at Siloam's fountain. We all have our difficulties. We all have our struggles, some more than others, of course. And we're looking, what can help? Well, you've come to the right place, because here is where Jesus is found. Of course, he's found anywhere that we look for, but Jesus is the one that can heal us and restore us to what we once were or could be. So it's a wonderful thing, these allusions in our hymns that we sing, but knowing what they're talking about just makes it come alive. And I'm so thankful for that song. We're glad you're with us this morning. We have a good number here. Not as many as we would like, of course, but under the circumstances, we trust that many are making their best judgment. And we're glad you're joining us virtually, if that's been your choice. But we got a lot of college students with us this morning. Glad to have you with us always. Tim officially welcomed you last week, but we'll continue to welcome you and offer to help if there's any way that we can help. But be careful and be safe, and just good to have everybody here with us. Some of you we've not seen in a while. Some of you we've been praying for because of one situation or another. And it just causes us to rejoice to see you back with us and to know that you're doing better. And again, all of you who are with us online, thank you for joining us. And one day we'll all be back together again, we pray. And until then, let's do the best we can. Lord willing, we'll have our worship at 6 o'clock this evening. I remind you that this evening our elders will be conducting a prayer service. And these are very rich times. Because they are our shepherds, they pray for us on a daily basis, and tonight they will be leading us in prayers and songs and readings from the Bible. And so though you can't be here at the building when that's happening, please be sure to join us online for that. If you have a prayer request for any of the elders to bring before us, we urge you to make that known by emailing them elders@gracemind.org, or call one of them and let them know what your request is. But we're glad you're with us this morning. If you've got your Bible, and surely you've got your Bible, right? Let's get that open. Let's get it going. Open your app if that's what you got. And I want you to follow along in the passages that we're going to be looking at. I'll try to give you time to get there before I begin reading them, but I want you to get in there and see for yourself. Is this really what the Word of God says? And if not, then say, Tim, you're off base. That's not it, because I need your help just like maybe you need mine. So let's get into our study for this morning. In the early days of the pandemic, what has that been, 7 years ago now? It seems like it. One thing I decided pretty quickly was I'm not going to watch the morning news anymore, because at that time I was really stressed out, and I said, I don't need that. I don't need to expose myself to those stories, and usually what makes the news is the most sensational, the most alarming. Of course, ESPN was now doing reruns, essentially. And so instead, I changed to a morning habit of turning on Gospel Broadcasting Network. And what a refreshing change that has been. And so now, if you ask me, well, what do you think about the morning news? I say, who needs it? Who needs the morning news? I don't. I don't want to bury my head in the sand either, but I don't need to expose myself to undue stress. Well, the pandemic has also caused a lot of disruption to our gathering. For 11 weeks in a row, there were no in-person services here at the building. And then on the 1st of June, when we finally opened it up and started meeting again, many of you have decided, well, my health is such that I don't need to be there, and we trust you're making the right decision. We urge you to pray about that decision. But it also concerns us that there may be some, and I don't know of any firsthand, but could it be that some will say, well, who needs worship anyway? And they just turn away from it, and they don't make any effort. Well, that's the question that I want us to look at this morning from the Word of God. Who needs worship? Because the answers are there in the Word of God. So let's dig into it. Let's find out who does need worship. Now, first of all, we need to ask the question, does God need our worship? Does God need for us to come into His presence and worship? If you're familiar with idolatry, and I doubt that any of us have firsthand knowledge of that, but you probably know there are those religions that teach that people need to bring food offerings to their gods. And the picture that you're looking at there is one example of that. You can't see the food very clearly, but it's a place where people bring their offerings, and the idea is, if I don't bring food, then that god is going to get hangry. You know what hangry means, don't you? Maybe some of you are reaching that point right now. But, you know, they don't want to offend their gods, and so I need to feed my gods, they say. Is that what we're looking at? Is God that way, that He needs our worship, and if we don't bring it, then His energy level starts dropping, He gets hangry? Is that who our God is that we serve? Go to John chapter 4, verse 23. We know this passage pretty well, I think. It's when Jesus was talking to the woman of Samaria. The disciples had gone into the city to buy food, and Jesus was at the well waiting for them, and a woman comes along, a native of Samaria, and they begin talking, and then she talks about, well, you Jews, you all worship over in Jerusalem. We worship here on Mount Gerizim. Who knows? What does it matter? Jesus makes this statement in John 4, verse 23, the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. The Father is seeking such people to worship Him. And the idea is, God wants us to worship Him. And what exactly does that mean? Is that like if I meet you at the door later and I say, well, what did you think about my sermon today? And you're thinking, well, why does he ask that? did you really like it? I mean, what were the points that you were thought were that you thought were just amazing? Now, please don't make any comments about my sermon today when you leave, because it won't mean anything now. But, you know, you might say, well, Tim is very narcissistic. He's fishing for compliments. And we know people like that, right? There are people like that. Is that what Jesus is saying? The Father is seeking people to worship him, to come and bow down before him. And if he doesn't get it, well, he's missing out on something. He's deprived. Listen to some passages in the Old Testament that will quickly dismiss that notion. First of all, Psalm 50. Psalm 50 and verse 12. And here the psalm is talking about people that come before the Lord hypocritically. They are living lives of wickedness, and yet they're going to do their duty and show up at the temple and bring their offerings. And okay, I've done that. Now I can go back to my sinful life. And this psalm says, no. He says in Psalm 50, verse 12, and this is God speaking, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world and its fullness are mine. And the point is, God doesn't need anything that we bring him in the sense of, well, if I don't get it from you, I won't have it. God says, I've already got it. I mean, you're bringing bulls and lambs and things that I commanded in the law of Moses, but they're mine already. It's not like I need you to do that. What I'm looking for is righteousness along with temple worship. Another passage that will say that very clearly is Malachi chapter 1 and verse 10. And if you're looking for Malachi, go to Matthew chapter 1 and turn back a page or so, and there you are. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 10. And although this was written a long time after Psalm 50, the point is the same. The people were just trying to get away with what they had to do, and they were bringing blemished sacrifices, lambs that were lame, that were sick, that wouldn't bring anything in the market anyway. Well, let's just give it to God. God says this in Malachi 1 and verse 10, oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors. Shut the doors that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts. I will not accept an offering from your hand. And the point is, don't think that you're doing God a favor when you do what he's commanded you to do. Don't have this idea, well, God must be very pleased. I brought him my worship today. Well, he is pleased, but not because he needs it. And that's the message that we get throughout the Bible. The Bible consistently says God delights in our worship when we are living a life that is in harmony with his will, but he doesn't need it. God can get by just fine if I don't ever worship him. It's our privilege. It is our calling, but God doesn't need it. Well, then who needs worship? We do. All of God's people do. All people generally do, but especially those of us who have said we want to follow the Lord, we need worship. And I want you to, again, to think about what Jesus said in John 4, verses 23 and 24. John 4, 23 and 24, the hour is coming. We read this earlier. The hour is coming and it's now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And there are some guidelines there, very broad guidelines, but they say this is how you come before the Lord. Number one, in spirit, and that means with your whole heart. This is not something that you can just automatically do like, you know, driving our cars anymore. We can just drive our cars without thinking too much about what we're doing. Dangerous, perhaps. But we don't worship that way. We do it in spirit. We do it with everything about us. And we do it in truth. We do it according to the way that God reveals. It's not our choice. We don't get to decide, how am I going to worship God today? No, God shows us in this new covenant under which we live, this is how I want to be worshiped. So we worship him in spirit and truth, and God is seeking such to worship him. And so that brings up the question, well then, why? Why do we do this? I mean, we're told that worship is an integral part of our religion, of our faith. Why is it so important? And I'm going to give you five very quick ideas from the Word of God why worship is important, why we need worship, and why we need to do it with our heart and with God's direction. The first of those reasons is that worship allows us to express our thanks to God. Worship allows us to express our thanks to God. I want you to go with me to Exodus now. Exodus chapter 4, verse 31. Worship is timeless. Now, the way we worship God changes according to the covenants, but worship itself is timeless. People of all times have been called to worship God. And that's what we're seeing here in Exodus chapter 4. Moses has now been sent to Egypt by God. He is there to talk to Pharaoh about letting his people go. But first, he goes to the people of Israel. They need to know what is happening. God is at work. And listen to what we find in Exodus chapter 4, verse 31. After Moses tells them, God has sent me to deliver you. It says, the people believed. They believed what Moses said. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel, that he had seen their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshiped. That's not hard to understand, is it? I mean, we can't really identify with what they have been through. They have been slaves for many generations, apparently. Their lives have been terribly hard. They were oppressed. And now Moses comes and says, God has seen your affliction. God is going to deliver you from this. How would you feel? Thank you. It's like how we're going to feel when this whole thing is passed over, right? Thank you, Lord, for bringing us through all of this. And we're going to need some way to say thank you. Well, worship is that way. Worship is one of those ways that we can thank God. And I think, for example, when we are talking about the worship that we do here this morning, that we do on every Lord's Day and at other times as well, think about some of the hymns that we sing together. How many of those are expressions of thanksgiving? And when we sing them with our spirit, when we sing them together as a congregation, or as we're singing it solo by ourselves when we're alone at home, it is our way of saying thank you, Lord. And that's our prayers. Isn't that also a place where we can thank the Lord? And I mean, just directly tell him, Lord, you have done so much. Thank you. We need that. Thankfulness is so fundamental to our relationship with God. And if we ever stop thinking about how God has blessed us, the relationship is going to start crumbling. Every day, we need to remind ourselves, I wouldn't be here today were it not for God. And worship allows us to say thank you. Reason number two why we need worship is that worship allows us to humble ourselves before the Lord. Worship allows us to humble ourselves before the Lord. Now we're going to look again at Exodus, this time chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24, we're going to look at verse 1. And here God is about to reveal to Israel the covenant. The laws, he will engrave on those two tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments. But there will be other things that God tells Moses while he is on Mount Sinai. But to get Moses ready and to get the people ready, listen to what it says in Exodus 24, verse 1. Then God said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. Worship from afar. Now, the reason for that being from afar will become very evident soon, because when God descends upon the mountain, it is a fearful thing. Already Israel has seen some of it, but now God is going to reveal the covenant. And only Moses will be allowed to go all the way up on top of the mountain when the Lord comes, but it's a time of humbling. It is a time of getting ready for entering into the presence of God, and that's something we need every day of our lives. Because again, if pride takes hold of me, if I begin thinking, look at what I've done in my life, I mean, I'm pretty good, right? It's God that gives me the ability to do what I do. It is God who is the giver of all good gifts. I need to remain humble every day, every moment of my life. And worship gives me that opportunity. Again, we get it through our study of the Word of God, but especially what we're going to do here in a little while, the Lord's Supper. I mean, how can you not be humbled if you enter into the Lord's Supper in spirit, in truth, if you really see Christ dying a horrible death on the cross because you put him there, because I put him there? How can you not be humbled when you enter into worship? And that's the point. We need that humbling that comes through worship. And so who needs worship? I certainly do. I need to be humbled. I need to have time to thank the Lord. And here's reason number three. Who needs worship? We do, because worship allows us to seek God's guidance. Worship allows us to seek God's guidance. Let's go to Psalm 25. Turn with me to Psalm 25. We sang part of this song, psalm earlier. And listen to what David says here in Psalm 25, beginning in verse 1. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. That is a statement of worship. The word worship is not found there, but that's what it is. I believe that there is a God. I believe that I have a soul. I'm going to lift up that soul to God to find him, to seek his face, and for him to look at me, to examine me. This is a picture of worship. And then he goes on to say in verses 4 and 5, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. And that's a plea for guidance, for direction in our lives. Is that something we realize we need? Or again, do we think, well, I've got this thing figured out. I don't need God. That's why many people don't worship God, because they think my life is fine. Why would I need to worship? Because I'm doing all right. We need that guidance. We must have it. It's like with our cell phones, our smartphones, or whatever device you've got. You got to have that signal, right? Without the signal, it's a worthless device. You're not going to get anything out of it. And we have to stay connected to the signal that God gives us. And that's what happens in worship. Many of the hymns that we sing are instructive. The teaching from God's word is instructive. And I stress, it must be from God's word. It's not enough that somebody get up and talk and entertain. It has to be teaching from the word of God. And so again, I need worship because I need his guidance. And here in worship, I can get that. Number four, we need worship because it helps us to accept hard times. Worship helps us to accept hard times. Hard times come. You've seen that, haven't you? And many of us have had it happen in numerous ways. So what do? Do we just turn away and give up? Do we get bitter about life? That's how some people respond. But may I suggest a better example to follow is that of David. Let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 20. This is when David and Bathsheba have had that first son. And when he is born, he becomes very sick. And David is mourning. David is fasting. He is crying and praying for God to spare the life of this child. But the child dies. Hard times have come. 2 Samuel 12, verse 20. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes. He went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Can you believe it? He went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. He then went to his own house, and when he asked, they set food before him, and he ate. He worshiped before he attended to his own needs. Now, getting himself washed and clothed properly, that was so he could enter into the presence of God. But he didn't even want to eat until he worshiped. And later when they ask him, what's going on? You were so troubled before the child died. And he explained, well, I thought maybe the Lord will hear my prayer, but now he can't come to me, but I can go to him. He had that hope that he would see that child one day. But you see, that's what worship can do for us. It can help us to accept hard times. Think about Job in Job chapter 1, after that first round of trials came upon him. What did Job do? He said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He worshiped. And when we worship God, we are turning to him. We are saying, Lord, I don't get this. I don't like this, but I'm putting it before you. I trust that you will get me through this. I trust you know what you're doing. I'm putting myself in your hands. And so worship helps us to accept hard times in case you have any that come your way. And then number five, worship is needed because worship allows us to show our love to the Lord. You can say thank you and not really love God, but loving God, that's pretty important, right? Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38? He was asked, what's the greatest of all the commands? And there was a big pool to choose from. Some have numbered it over 600 different commands that were given in the covenant. But Jesus didn't hesitate. He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And you see, the idea is that loving God is very, very important. And worship gives us an opportunity to show that. And in our worship, we can do that by our giving. Does our giving not say, Lord, you've given me everything, and now you've asked me to give back so that others can be blessed? I'm glad to do that. If you give cheerfully, you're showing your love for God. And when we sing together, again, we can show our love to God, and just being in worship with others, it is a way of saying, Lord, there's a lot of things I could have done with my time. You know that. But I choose to come and gather with the saints virtually or actually. I choose to spend that time worshiping you. And that is a demonstration of our love. Generally, what we're saying about worship is that worship is how we strengthen our connections with God. It's how we strengthen our connections with God. And I trust every one of us know it's important to be connected to God. I mean, that's what salvation is hinged upon. Without God, I'll be lost forever. Without God, I really don't know how to live a good life. I need that connection. In worship, we have the opportunity to strengthen that connection. And if we do it regularly, the way the Lord commands us to, it leads to growth. Growth. So that we can really become the people that God wants us to be. There are many situations in life where we take time out of our schedule to honor someone. It happens at funerals. People say, well, I've got to take time out. I've got to interrupt my life. I'm going to go over there and I'm going to gather with the family. I'm going to show how much I really appreciated that person. That's a great thing. We also do it for weddings and graduations and birthdays. There's somebody that lives in my house that's having a birthday today, and she said, don't tell them. And so I'm not going to name her name. But I'm going to honor her today the best way I can. I'm going to honor her because she is very special to me. And we do that. And that's kind of the idea, isn't it, of worship? I mean, who in all of creation, who in all of the universe has done more for us, is of more significance to our lives than God? And what a privilege it is to take time to worship. Let me close with Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. because again, it sums up what our calling is very well. He says, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Our lives have been shaken these last several weeks. And there's a lot of ways our lives are shaken, whether by COVID or by illness or by death or job loss or a lot of things. But we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. My heart is in my worship. I don't just show up and, you know, kind of pass the time by doing this or that. My heart is in this because He is my God. He is my Savior. And what an honor and privilege it is to worship Him. Have you responded to the Lord the way you should by obeying the gospel? It's a simple plan of salvation. The people on the day of Pentecost heard the news, Jesus, the one that you crucified, is God's Son. And they were cut to the heart. They believed what Peter said. They repented of it. They said, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That plan has not changed. It is still the same. So, if this morning you have not obeyed the gospel, we urge you to make that decision now. We'll help you do it right now. If you're not at the building, let us know. We'll wait for you. Or if you're in another community, we'll make arrangements for you somehow. Just make your decision to do what the Lord requires. And if we've done that and yet have not been faithful, we need to repent. We need to say, Lord, I have sinned. I need your forgiveness as an erring child of God. Please forgive me, Lord. And we'll pray with you. If you are not here at the building, if you'd like our prayers, email Greg Ryan, Tim Haywood, or myself, and we'll get your prayer requests before the congregation. But whatever your need, God is so worthy of our worship. We pray you'll begin now. Come as we stand and sing.
When we walk with the Lord,
Jacob Mahaley comes forward this morning. We love Jacob. He is such a servant, such a genuine believer. We just love Jacob. And we're all feeling right now. I mean, normally we would all, you know, we'd see a crowd up here around Jacob. You know that, don't you, Jacob? But we love you too much to get close to you. But we're going to give you plenty of air hugs here just very shortly. But Jacob writes this request. I haven't been the Christian person I need or have wanted to be lately. I've been struggling with a lot of inner conflict. And so what Jacob is asking is that we pray for him, that he might be strong, that he might do as he should, that he might know that God is with him. And I know that's going to happen. Those who are conscientious struggle with these feelings regularly. But we are confident Jacob will be encouraged and will find the strength to do better. We're going to pray for him right now. Will you bow with me? Our God and our Father in heaven, we praise you, Lord, for being so great and wonderful. You are our Creator, the Redeemer. You are everything to us, Lord, the very breath in our bodies. And Father, we praise you for Jesus, our Savior, who gave his life so that we might have the privilege of repentance and prayer, knowing that you will forgive those erring Christians who come home. Father, we're so thankful for Jacob. Lord, we have seen him to be strong in many instances and very active in his faith. We also know that he often feels inadequate. And Lord, we are all inadequate to some extent. Father, I pray that he will have your blessings, that he will find the forgiveness for whatever he may have done or neglected to do. And Father, I pray that he will leave here knowing that he has been forgiven, washed by the blood of Christ, and that he has a family behind him, not only his biological family, but his family in Christ. And so, Lord, strengthen him. Help him that he might know that you have been here, that you have forgiven him, and that he will be stronger from here on. Bless each one of us, Father. Thank you for those among us who have recovered from various illnesses, some even from the COVID virus. And Father, just be with us all. Be with our world. We are in such need of your leading, Father. Use us, your people, to be the light others need to see. Be with us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, brother.
We'll observe the Lord's Supper. To prepare our minds, we'll sing 315. When I survey the wondrous cross.
When I survey
If you could, go ahead and remove your masks. And you're also welcome to remove the top layer of your communion cup. We've all seen it. It's that sense of awe that comes across the face of a child as they see something new or see something for the first time in maybe a little bit of a different way. Perhaps it's a light, or perhaps an animal, and they are just so awestruck by it, and there's this look on their face. There's just such joy. And as we get older, it seems like we have less and less of those experiences. It seems that we just get accustomed to life. We settle for the mundane, and we stop viewing life the way that a child does because we get used to it. And I wonder, if we look back at the first time that we took the Lord's Supper as a Christian, do you remember that sense of awe, that sense of reverence for what you were doing? And yet, as time goes on, do we sometimes just take it for granted what we're doing? It almost becomes, as Tim said, we're just kind of driving along, not even really thinking about it. Today, I invite you to view what we are doing now with that same sense of awe that a child has in their eyes as they view something for the first time. The Creator of the universe knew that we had a need that we couldn't fix. And so he gave up of himself so that we could be saved and to have that relationship with us. If that doesn't create a sense of awe, I don't know what will. Let's go to God in thankfulness for the bread. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending your Son, for the life that he lived, for the body that he gave up, for the perfect sacrifice that he was, that we needed at just the right time. God, you are so good. And may we view this bread that we're taking with such a sense of awe and be inspired by what we're doing because of who did it for us. And it's your Son's name we pray. Amen. Also for the juice. Father, we also thank you for this cup, which represents the blood of your Son. Lord, we can't imagine what it would be like to be at the foot of the cross, looking up at the one that you sent, that died for us, that hung there, that gave up his blood so that we can have forgiveness. Lord, help us to look upon your Son the way they did at the foot of the cross, those believers there. But Lord, help us to also look upon your Son in the way that the believers were able to after he rose. Lord, we thank you for this cup and all that it means for us. And it's your Son's name we pray. Amen. There's also a sense of awe that we have from just being able to be back together, a sense of awe in what we've been able to put together so that the Word of God may continue to be preached, not only in this area, but we have people watching from other communities, other states, possibly even other countries at this moment. And that is able to be done because of us pooling our funds together so that we can teach others about the Lord that we serve. So if you have opportunity, we have a basket in the back, You can bring your funds to the church building. We have sent out envelopes, and of course there's also electronic funds that you can send through your bank. And so I invite you to participate in that with us as we try to teach others about the God that we are in awe of. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for the opportunities that you provide for us to live and to grow. We thank you for the funds that you provide for us so that we can live physically. But Lord, help us to take these physical funds and help us to create spiritual life in others by teaching your word, by reaching out to those that are in need, and by loving our community, Lord. Help us as we seek to love those around us. And it's your son's name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray again, please. Our Father, it's been so good for us to be here, to be in your presence and with each other to worship you. We thank you so much for Tim's reminder to us that that we really need worship, and that not only do you deserve our honor and praise extended to you, but that it's good for us. And in so doing, we are more humbled, and we appreciate even more all that you mean to us. Father, we're so thankful for Jacob this morning and his heart of humility, and we ask you to be with him and strengthen him. And Father, we ask you to be with all of us. We're all challenged, and we all struggle, and we just need your strength and encouragement. Please continue to forgive all of us and to lead us and to guide us and help us to always be reminded of your Son and how he is our perfect example. Thank you so much. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.